Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, broadcasted live from Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse. How you doing, Dominic?
Awesome, Crudy. Well done today, sir. Appreciate being on here. We're here with you. And, of course, Evan, our fair audience. Happy, happy hour. It's Friday. Greatest day of the week.
Buddy, I've been up here in God's country reliving some glory days all week. And I've been joined by a fine guest here at the table. He is the Democratic Party chairman of the great state of Wisconsin. I mean, hell, it's your convention, Ben Wickler. That's the reason I'm here. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates once again, sir.
Great to be back on in beautiful La Crosse here on the Mississippi, in a state where we are now kicking back in 1849 bans on abortion. Holy smokes, what a Supreme Court train wreck, and what a motivation to join the fight.
Yeah, we're going to need a new motto now, guys.
Backward. I mean, come on. The Republicans, the thing that blows me away is that the Republicans, you know, they're like tearing up any evidence about what the public actually wants. And they're embracing this law that was put in place decades before women had the right to vote in Wisconsin. And they're talking about taking away even the tiny sliver of an exception. The law that was passed in 1849 says that if two doctors agree that an abortion is necessary to save the life of the mother, that's the only condition where it's allowed. Rebecca Clayfish wants to remove that exemption.
Of course she does. Folks, Devil's Advocates live on the road. That's Ben Wickler here with me at Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse. Ben, I hate to be crass, but if we're looking for something to engage the Dems, well, this is rocket fuel, I would hope. Do you see it that way, Ben?
I think this is a tragedy. It is atrocious. It is horrific. And it's so personal for so many people that people are jumping off the sidelines and into the fight. We saw this spring. After the Republicans re-gerrymandered our state legislative maps, a ton of folks who'd been thinking about running for a state assembly had decided, you know what, this isn't the year. And then the Dobbs decision was leaked, and tons of people came off the sidelines. We have far more assembly candidates across the state than we did in 2016, in 2014. This looks like 2020 in terms of the number of folks running for legislature. And that is the result of people who decided, in the face of these attacks on our freedoms, that they were going to be part of the solution. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing that, I mean, in the last couple of hours, we've raised tens of thousands of dollars for abortion funds across Wisconsin. And I know that people are going to be protesting. We'll have a protest in La Crosse tomorrow. And then they're going to take that straight to the ballot box.
And Ben, it really, and I appreciate the fact I live in the great state of Wisconsin, the Assembly and the Senate will be controlled by the Republicans no matter how many good damn Dems run and how hard we vote. That is a reality of the math. So if we want a remedy, and certainly we want women to have these reproductive rights, that's going to be a federal remedy. That's going to be codified on the federal level. And Ben, as you were sneaking up here, as we were turning the hours, I was sort of thinking through the math. Effectively, at minimum, we need a couple of more Democratic seats. And that really starts by picking up Ron Johnson's seat. That's what Wisconsin Dems need to do more than anything else.
Absolutely. Listen, there are a few different keys here. One thing is making sure that we hold the governorship, that we prevent Republican supermajorities, and that we win the state Supreme Court race next spring. But the other one is preventing a Republican trifecta federally, because they will try to pass a nationwide abortion ban if they get it. And ideally, to strengthen and bolster the Democratic trifecta, to do that, we beat Derek Van Orden, the troll of the West, the guy who wants to take the seat that Ron Kind has held blue for the last 24 years, and then we beat Ron Johnson with somebody who actually believes in democracy in the United States of America and is ready to pass the Women's Health Protection Act that Tammy Baldwin's the leader on. Johnson is so far out of touch. You know, when he was asked about overturning Roe, he said, it might be a little messy, but it won't be that big of a deal. It won't be a real change for anyone in Wisconsin. As though, you know, a teenager who's pregnant because of a horrible assault situation can get a ride down from northern Wisconsin to Illinois without their parents finding out or something. Like, he's just totally blind to the human realities of how this provokes a crisis in health for so many people. And that guy should not get another term in the Senate, and this will help ensure that he does not.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin, joining Crudy in La Crosse at the state convention. Ben, appreciate you joining us. I saw your press release today where you refer to the anti-abortion extremists, and I absolutely concur, and I did see some more reporting regarding Supreme Court Justice Thomas going after Obergefell and Lawrence and Griswold, you know, gay marriage and anti-sodomy laws and rights to contraceptives. So it is certainly extreme. But I got to ask you, as the head of the political party here in Wisconsin, and of course we all across the country, we have political parties, the Democratic parties. Henry Cuellar went up against Jessica Cisneros in Texas, and he was supported by the, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Clyburn and other leaders of the Democratic Party, and he is anti-abortion. And if he's, you know, I guess my question to you, knowing that, what role do you see the leadership of the Democratic political party having in making sure that people are running for office that believe in the same things that the Democratic Party claims to believe in?
So in the state of Wisconsin, the Democratic Party was reformed in 1948, coming out of the Progressive Party, coming out of the progressive wing that used to exist in the Republican Party, and progressives among the Democrats, and their belief. This is the group of people that had created the system of open primaries, where the voters, not party bosses, determined who the party's nominees would be. And so in Wisconsin, it's up to the voters. We in races where we have multiple candidates, like our Senate race, like the third congressional district house race, we have multiple candidates and the party is neutral until we have a nominee. And what that means is that it's the views of our voters that matter the most, and our voters, like the vast majority of Wisconsinites, believe that the decision about when or whether to start a family, some of the most intense personal decisions that anyone makes, that those should be made by the people having the kids and their doctors and their faith, and not by politicians. That is something that has like 75% support across our state, certainly our whole primary electorate. So I think it's unimaginable to think that in the state of Wisconsin, where the voters choose who our nominee is going to be, that we wind up with candidates for these major offices that don't agree with this core principle that is in our party platform.
Ben, obviously lots of angst and anger, and although, you know, a lot of us saw this coming, specific action plans. I saw apparently some of the reporting, a bunch of Democrats got on the steps of the Capitol and sang today. I just don't know if that's the visual or the action that people are looking for. I'm looking for very specific actions. I'm looking for a plan to take down the Republicans in every spot of the state. Ben, if people are looking to do something and I want to get this angst off and be productive with this energy, what do you tell them to do?
So the first thing I would say is go to defendchoice.org. But what that'll do is take you to the same page you get to if you go to wisdems.org/volunteer. Defend Choice is a national site that the Democratic Party nationally has set up. And what we need to do is turn our heartbreak, the anguish, the fury that people feel all over the state, the fear, and turn that into political action. Now, today, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is raising money for abortion funds to make sure that folks who need to travel to Illinois to get abortion care, if they're in an emergency, that they need to get across the state lines, that they're not barred from doing that because of economic circumstances. So by all means, donate, but don't stop there. We need folks to make phone calls. We need folks to knock on doors. We need folks to go to, you know, Summerfest and your county fairs this summer and talk to people. there are so many people who have such deep personal concerns about this radical, extreme, near total ban that is suddenly on the books. And if we do that, if we elect Attorney General Josh Call, who has said that as long as he's the AG, we're not going to use State Department of Justice resources. We're not going to take them away from dealing with dangerous crime and instead jail doctors for performing healthcare procedures. If we reelect Governor Evers, who has been a brick wall vetoing bill after bill by the far right to try to criminalize healthcare that Wisconsinites depend on. If we make sure Republicans don't get supermajorities in our state legislature, which means organizing and fighting in rural districts and suburban districts, as well as the blue districts in the hearts of our cities, we need to fight on every front to elect people to these offices. We have a better organizing ground game than we have ever had. We have a better one than the Republicans have. We need to use that to make sure we spike the energy as we go into the fall, make sure everyone knows what's at stake, and win up and down the ballot.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live from Buzzard Billy's, La Crosse, Wisconsin. I got the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. We're here for the big party, the convention tomorrow, the shiny new La Crosse Center. And by the way, do you have a little more time, or are we done with you at 4:20?
Keep going for a minute, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this shiny new facility. Way nicer than when Dom and I used to catch catbird games there. A beautiful facility for hopefully a great event tomorrow.
It's going to be a fantastic convention. This is the first time that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has gathered in person since 2019, when I was first elected chair. The Republicans, you know, had an ostrich head in the sand view about COVID. It didn't seem to matter much to them. They sued to strike down our masking laws and our protection laws, and they had in-person conventions. We went virtual, and we had great virtual conventions. But now, my joke is, it's like we're entering the third dimension. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. People are seeing each other for the first time in a long time, and they're seeing the governor that has overwhelming united support among Democrats in Wisconsin, in contrast to the Republican Party, where they cannot agree on who it is that they want to be their governor. So when we get together, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to redouble our commitment to fight. We've got to fight to win because the stakes are so high.
Folks, Devil's Advocates Radio Show on the road again, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Buzzard Billy's, the site. Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler, our fine guest. Come back with us. We'll continue with Ben for a few more minutes. More Devil's Advocates, and also the phone lines, they're open. We can take your opinions, your calls. Obviously, Roe v. Wade overturned today. Abortion illegal at this moment in the state of Wisconsin. 844-967-2789. Trudy and Ben Wickler and Dom watching. We're in God's country. We'll be right back. In this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We will take your calls today. Reaction on the overturning of Roe v. Wade, 844-967-2789.
Dom to comment, Buzzard Billy is a fine saloon and victual place here in La Crosse, Wisconsin on Pearl Street. I am sitting next to the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. And we're in La Crosse because it's a Dem Party weekend. The convention being held about 150 yards from here. Tomorrow we'll do special expanded coverage beginning at 6. A lot of the speeches, certainly a lot of fine guests, but Ben, you know, we got to win. And this is a very important elective cycle. Some might say the most important elective cycle of your chairmanship, sure. Obviously, we held serve. We prevented Trump from being the president ongoing. But it's been hard for the Democrats to deliver the full Biden agenda. What was promised really hasn't come to fruition. And it's left some voters wanting. And in the rural parts of Wisconsin, the western part of Wisconsin, the northern part of Wisconsin, and Ben, I've spent a little more time outstate than I anticipated this year, but I can tell you there's this want of something more. So what do you think that is, and how did the Democrats deliver in a sincere way and convince rural voters that they are cared for and the Dems are the party for them?
So the fascinating thing for me is that we have almost like a stealth operation. We've delivered beyond, I think, what people could have thought was possible in these conditions of divided government when Republicans are trying to obstruct and undermine everything the governor does. Because Democrats, with no Republican help, passed the American Rescue Plan, empowered Governor Evers to have discretion over funds that we needed to use, the governor launched the Main Street Bounce Back Program, and there are 4,200 Main Street businesses that reopened vacant storefronts and expanded premises.
We're one of them. There we received one of those grants.
Those grants have made such a difference in small towns and medium-sized towns and in cities across the state. We've gotten broadband into 300,000 homes and businesses across Wisconsin, overwhelmingly rural. We've paved enough roads to drive to Denver and back. We've gotten our schools back in the top 10 in the country. We've got record low unemployment and a huge budget surplus and a 15% income tax cut for middle-class Wisconsinites. That is almost the definition of a successful governorship in the first term. And this is a governor who is hungry to do even more on all these fronts. It's the common sense stuff that connects with people's lived experience. Now, the catch is that a lot of folks know that those things have gone well, but they might not realize that, because a lot of Republicans don't want to tell them, that Governor Evers was this driving force across all these different dimensions of success. So over these next few months...
That's, of course, Ben, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Because it's Evers and Biden to be blamed for the rampant inflation and the high gas prices. What do you think the Dems' response to that is? Because obviously the economy affects everyone. And kitchen table issues, if you're not paying attention to the J6 hearings, if you're just trying to live your life and get your kid to soccer practice, you do notice higher gas prices. And when the Republicans say that's Biden's fault, that's Evers' fault, how did the Dems fight back on that message?
The most critical thing, first of all, you acknowledge the reality of the pain. I don't think there's a person listening right now who hasn't had to do a double take when they looked at the price at the pump. But the second thing is, I mean, this is a global problem. All around the world, gas prices are high. We have a war with Russia, a giant oil producer. And the question is, who is fighting for you? Who is fighting to bring those costs down? And the answer is right there in the congressional record. Every Democrat voted to stop oil company price gouging, and every Republican voted against it. It is as plain as day. Democrats are actually fighting to bring people's costs down. What are Republicans doing? Republicans are fighting to overturn the 2020 election retroactively. We know what their priorities are because they spend all day doing it. We had yesterday, look at the news, Michael Gabelman, he's deleting records. He's running this special counsel investigation.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, exactly. Ron Johnson spending 2 minutes helping coordinate the delivery of the fake elector, slates to Mike Pence. I mean, this is all these guys care about is locking in power for themselves, and Democrats are actually trying to do something about the problems people face. So our job is to make sure people know who's fighting for them. But once you see that, the choice is pretty easy about who you want to vote for.
Do you believe, like I do, that perhaps our U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has committed criminal acts and should get a good effing defense attorney? Ben, should the Dems be using this sort of blunt language? Should we be calling out Ron Johnson and saying, I mean, we had a former U.S. prosecutor on the show, James Santel, the other day. He laid out the federal code that in all probability Ron Johnson has broken.
So I think for Democratic candidates, you point to these dangling threads and you start to pull. Because there is a lot left to unravel with this guy. We don't know every place where it's all going, but we can see that he was right there involved in trying to overturn the will of the voters. And if I will say one thing, I'm a voter myself. We voters do not like having our will overturned. We're supposed to be a democracy in this country. This is the United States of America. We fought a revolution. People have died for our freedom. The whole idea is that we, the people, get to choose who's in charge, not some Republican politician who thinks that they know better than what the public thinks. So it's pretty basic. And it also speaks to this question. Ron Johnson fundamentally is about serving himself. We remember in 2020, after the election, he was running these hearings with conspiracy theorists, and then he had a conversation with the former Republican County Party chair in Brown County, where he explained that he knew that Biden won, but it would be political suicide to admit it to the public and go up against Donald Trump. So this was about him trying to save his own political bacon by doing something that is essentially an attack on America. And he has continued with this kind of baloney, this garbage, all the way to the present day. This is a huge vulnerability for him. It's a political vulnerability. It's also fundamentally offensive to me as an American. And I think most people, the more they learn about this, the more offended they are. Democrats have to show we're fighting for them, and we have to point out that Republicans are just in it for themselves.
Ben, I didn't leave Dominic any time for questions, but we got this beautiful La Crosse Center tomorrow. Tell people what they can expect. We're going to do a broadcast brought to us locally by Chad's Design Build, but what can the people expect to hear tomorrow night? Tony Evers, who else?
Listen, Tony Evers, Senator Tammy Baldwin, the force, Ron Kind, taking a bow after the 24 years of great service here in the 3rd Congressional District. You'll hear from Josh Call. You'll hear tomorrow from candidates to replace Ron Kind. There's a great group of Dems running. You'll hear from our state party chair. I don't know about that guy, but you'll hear about others from other state party leaders, from our state legislators. It's going to be an all-Wisconsin dynamite lineup tomorrow, and then Senate candidates on Sunday. Don't miss it here on the Devil's Advocate Radio Network.
Well, we're not doing the speech of Sunday, I hate to say, but we will kill me tomorrow and the rest of this big show. Thank you, Ben Wickler. More Devils thank live.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road again, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Broadcasting from Buzzard Billy's, a fine saloon here on Pearl Street, 222 Pearl Street. If you're going to the convention, come on down and join us. I'll buy you a beer, but only one. And I'm using your debit card, Dom. I want to thank our most recent guest. He's a fine one, Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. Great that Ben joined me here at Buzzard Billy's. And I got a good friend here now. He is Pat Kreitlow. He is a journalist turned politician, turned journalist, turned friend of the Devils. Welcome, Pat, to Buzzard Billy's, man.
You didn't tell me I had to follow Ben Wickler. I mean, come on. The man's a pro. I am. I apologize to everybody in advance. You already got the A-team here, but I will do my best to try.
Well, we had the A-team, and then we brought on Ben and you, Pat. You know, buddy, I've been enjoying myself for these last couple of days, taking a little stroll down Glory Memory Lane here.
Isn't it hazy? It's a hazy memory lane.
Most of it hasn't changed much. I mean, I drove by the old house where Dom and I lived. I think it's the same siding they had on it.
It looks like
30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I have a house like that on Water Street in Eau Claire from when I went to UW-Eau Claire that I lived in over the summer. One of the houses nearby that's long since been torn down, but it was an old house, actually had a city sewer with a manhole in the kitchen. It had been built over a city sewer manhole. You didn't want to be in there. You didn't want to be there after hours. Very cheap rent there. But I remember the old college housing, and I'm sure we're not more than a stone's throw away from some similar places here.
Now, Pat, you're a Chippewa Falls guy. You live up in the 3rd CD, and we're in...
Well, let's remember, I'm in the 7th. The city of Chippewa Falls is in the 3rd, and for those folks that haven't heard me tell it the first 100 times, the reason why the 7th now is all jagged through Chippewa County and now goes up to Stevens Point is because of me. Because back in 2011, they needed to protect Sean Duffy from the guy from Chippewa Falls who had just declared he was going to run against him. And as a result, I would have beat the pants off him in the old 7th CD. But once they did all that gerrymandering, well, the rest is history. So that's why I'm still in the 7th up on beautiful Lake Wissota.
You could have been a contender.
Could have been could have, should have. Yep.
Pat Kreitlow, my fine guest here at Buzzard Billy's. Pat, obviously, as a journalist, and you head up the Up North News, big breaking news. I don't know that it gets much bigger than the overturning of 50 years of, what, human rights. I mean, this is a human right being removed. It abortive rights have been rights since I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. My entire lifetime, and now it's not.
Right, and it's that sense of complacency that probably finally got jolted out of some people. A lot of folks in Wisconsin already had learned that lesson, though. Cough, cough, Act 10, you know, where it's like, wait, you're taking away rights, which is, you know, what they did with Act 10 all those years ago. And you had all these people saying, oh, that could never happen, Roe v. Wade. It's just a talking point. Well, sadly, this is one of the world's biggest I told you so's, you know, especially for folks that couldn't be bothered to vote in 2016 or in 2000, which, you know, gave us a couple of the justices, or even 1992 when George H.W. Bush seemed like, you know, the kind of candidate you could have a beer with. Well, that's what got us Clarence Thomas. So, I mean, if if today's history-making move doesn't show that every election matters, and you, it's more than a popularity contest, I mean, this is it. This is the example of why you've got to show up, why you've got to vote.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Pat Kreitlow, host of the Up North podcast, one of the hosts, and most importantly, he's the head of the Up North News, and he's a friend of the Devils. That's an important notion as well. Pat, I teased Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair. Is this the rocket fuel that the Democratic Party needs? I mean, just a couple of days ago, we saw polling from Marquette University. The engagement level of the Dems is not close to matching the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Well, is this rocket fuel for the Dems?
Well, I think, honestly, I think it is for both parties. I mean, you already see Republicans. In fact, as I drove down here and I was listening on the Devil Radio app, and as I was driving through some of the smaller towns, a couple of people had already put up like handmade lawn signs in their lawn celebrating today's decision. So there's a lot of rocket fuel on both sides, and it really is just going to help everybody underscore that this all comes down to who shows up. And not just in November. I mean, you've got primary candidates in August. But I think more importantly, and I don't know if you've talked about this angle of it yet, everybody better circle next April on their calendar, because hardline conservative justice Pat Rogensack is retiring from the state Supreme Court. There are two progressives and probably one conservative already in the race. And the state Supreme Court is a 4-3 conservative. And depending on how that vote turns out next April, conceivably, progressives could take control of the state Supreme Court and, you know, prevent more of this backsliding, knowing full well that if Governor Evers is defeated, or if Republicans get a veto-proof majority, they are going to push through even harsher restrictions than what this decision gives us.
Pat, before I let Dom in, I got to ask you one more. The legislative majorities are baked in the cake through the gerrymandering process here in the state of Wisconsin. When we talk about Roe v. Wade, well, they talk about codifying it, legislatively, basically making it a law. Well, right now, the law is the 1849 law. As of today, abortion's illegal in the state of Wisconsin, and there is no state-level legislative remedy because of the position of the Republicans. Mm-hmm. So the only way, Pat, women get back this right is if we win a legislative majority, or at least preserve the legislative majority, perhaps plus two in the U.S. Senate.
Correct. And, you know, I remember I saw earlier today some online traffic saying, hey, how come when Democrats had control of the legislature in like, you know, 2009, 2010, why didn't they codify Roe? And the fact of the matter is they could have. But as I just mentioned with Act 10, look what would have happened in 2011, first thing they would have done before or after Act 10 would have been to tear out the codification and put in, you know, an abortion ban when they had Scott Walker as governor. So, again, I don't think this is going to be settled. I mean, we had settled law, quote unquote, for almost 50 years.
But you're saying if the state legislature had codified it, mm-hmm. am I hearing you right?
Yes.
Scott Walker would have removed it, but that's not the position he took. He played that.
Wait, are you saying he would have? I'm saying he would have done something. Hello, right to work. I'm going to serve out
a full
term.
Well, sure. I mean, and it's a tough choice between a woman and her doctor, I think, is the way he played it in 14 when he was going up against Mary Burke.
Yeah.
Of course, we know he would have lied. But at least if he'd have done that drastic of an act, it would have shown his true colors, and perhaps he would have been ex-Governor Wanker sooner.
Well, perhaps. But again, this is somebody who did not at all in the 2010 campaign talk about removing public sector union rights. And then he went ahead and did it. In 2014, he said, oh, right to work is not a priority for me at all. And he signed it, you know, 2 minutes after the legislature passed it. So they have tried to say the right things to placate a certain part of, you know, the electorate. But after today, they can't hide that anymore. These are the folks that, you know, like it or not, can be fairly described as being, you know, more pro-rapist than they are pro-woman. They've already proven they're more pro-school shooters than they are pro the lives of school students. And it is that harsh, and it is that stark, and a lot of them are frankly going to have to embrace that, your Marjorie Taylor Greens and whatnot, because they're gerrymandered. They don't care. They've got nothing to lose anyway. The veneer is off.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Pat Kreitlow from the Up North News joining Crudy at the Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Pat, always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Me too. My
reflection on this when Justice Mr. Ginny Thomas wrote in his piece that he wanted to go after Obergefell and Lawrence and Griswold.
And you notice he didn't say Loving? He didn't say Loving.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Loving v. Virginia, which made the banning of interracial marriage illegal. You can't do it. Of course, he is in an interracial marriage.
By interracial, do you mean that he's married to a traitor?
Or is this a
seditionist? Something like that? Okay.
I don't know. If you're sleeping with a Nazi, unless you're a spy, you might be a Nazi. So, but anyway, Mr. Ginny Thomas going after those and in starkly avoiding Loving Virginia. But should this be framed as the Republicans do not believe that we as American citizens have the constitutional right to privacy? Because that is essentially what all these things are related to, Pat. Is that the framing you think might be a little more, I don't know, effective for, you know, Republicans and independents?
Yes, because when Roe was decided, and then you have to go back before that, what really helped decide it prior to that was the Griswold decision, Griswold v. Connecticut, which allowed for legal contraception use between married people and then later on single people. That was the first case where the court found an implied right to privacy in the Constitution. So, no, it's never been stated. You didn't think it had to be. That was an era, the late 60s, when we were, as a nation, expanding rights. The Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act. We were looking for the right to have clean air and clean water. It was kind of the big bang where rights were expanding, and now we're in the big crunch where we're pulling back rights like that. And so, yes, until you either codify things or explicitly say things like there is a right to privacy, they're going to hide behind this originalist language, which, again, they only do that when it suits them.
Well, I just don't understand it. If you don't like gay marriage, don't enter into a gay marriage. If you don't like sodomy, don't engage in sodomy. If you don't want to use contraceptives, don't do so. What is it about, these people pushing their will upon us, Pat? And I've talked to them about this with Crudy. But what's the basis? It's religion. It's religious extremists, Pat. That is their basis. Mm-hmm. That is why they do this. Jesus wants to save the babies. That's their position. And as the atheist, I don't find that any different than any other extremist, Islamic extremist position that would want to dictate to individuals how they live their life based on someone else's religious belief, Pat. And I don't think, if we're going to be very harsh about it, and I think we need to be, we also need to be very honest about it, and I think the basis is in the mythology. Pat, what do you think?
I think that anytime you talk about religious extremism, what you're really getting at is control. I'm the authority, and you're going to do what I want, whether it's because I feel, ordained by God or simply drunk on power. Whatever it is, it's about control. And in this case, it's about control over anybody's body that I want. And I've seen women posting, online and otherwise that, that this is all about access. Not just control over their bodies, but now access to their bodies. And again, whether it's through a sense of religion or a sense of power, it is about control. And the only way that you get rid of that is to explicitly fight for those rights that, even if you took them for granted in the past, because we had the privilege, of that kind of freedom or that kind of, precedence in the Supreme Court, you've got to fight for them now. You got to fight for them. You got to vote that way in every election going forward.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live from God's country up here at Buzzard Billy's Saloon, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Pearl Street. Got a good friend of ours. He is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Fine journalist turned
political journalist, and you can find him now at upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for the daily newsletter over there. And then the Up North podcast is on this fine station.
Yeah, we play
Wednesday nights.
Well, we play commentary of yours every day as well at 5:30.
Every day you let me play Paul Harvey for a little bit.
It's kind of cool.
And commentary.
Well,
I love it.
you know, I gotta tell you, Pat, Dom and I's first 3-hour show from a convention was in 2014.
Right.
And we had Mike Tate, the Democratic Party chair, at the table when the Barb Crabb ruling came down, expanding rights, at least effectively, opened a window for same-sex marriage to happen. The U.S. Supreme Court followed suit shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the greatest days I can recall in politics. Mm-hmm. And this seems, as the Dems head into their convention weekend, this seems like, you know, a 180 of that, the contraction of the rights, Pat. And, you know, I hope Ben Wickler, I hope the Dems, I hope they're up. Because this is war, man.
Oh, yeah, it is. And then after what we learned yesterday about what Trump was trying to do to weaponize the Department of Justice, these have been two very historic, very dark days for American democracy.
And we still got the Saturday special coverage. So, you know, we ain't even close to being done yet. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Pat Kreitlow ain't a grievance. Come back with us. More Devils live from Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse. Our pal Pat Kreitlow as well.
So a good judge will consider it as precedent of the United States Supreme Court, worthy as treatment of precedent like any other.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. We will take your grievances today. It is a Friday, 844-967-2789.
Well, I'm not grieving the fact that I got a fine guest here with me at the table. He's Pat Kreitlow. We are at Buzzard Billy's Saloon and Victual Place in Pearl Street, La Crosse. Pat, thanks for sticking around, man. I promised you a beer. Got to wait till the top of the hour and catch the attention of the wait staff.
Wait, I get to have a beer at 5 o'clock on a Friday? Okay.
The happy hour. The happy right. hour. And we will, in the happy hour, be joined here at the table by U.S. senatorial candidate Tom Nelson. Easy for me to say.
Yes. Tom and I served in the legislature together back in 2008, I think, to 2010, something like that. And now he's the Outagamie County executive and, you know, good guy. One of several good people running.
Well, good guy Ben Wickler's got to rally the troops this weekend. And, you know, will we, do you care, do you give a damn about the convention straw polls? You know, I'll make a big deal out of it on Monday, but they will pick their preference amongst mm-hmm. especially the senatorial candidates. This is the first tell we have from the party base, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is, but again, it's the base. It's a very small sliver that is very active and will come, more than a couple hundred miles sometimes to come to the state convention. But what I found most interesting from the Marquette poll that came out a couple of days ago, and we pressed this pretty heavily on Up North News, is the number of people in both parties that are still undecided. Basically, one out of three voters.
Undecided
are
voters.
Undecided voters to decide who runs against
what's wrong
Ron
with
Johnson
people?
Or who runs against Tony Evers. And is, you know, you always got to wonder, those of us who pay attention to these things, is it, why are they waiting? Are they waiting to see whose ad they like better? Are they waiting for somebody to commit a gaffe? So when you look at, say, Tom Nelson and Sarah Godlewski are both in single digits.
Yeah.
But when 32% are undecided, you keep fighting as if you've got Mandela, Barnes, Alex Lazary numbers because, you know, still anything can happen.
Well, here's, you know, and I'm not casting votes upon the electorate, but what I have noticed is here in the state of Wisconsin, the Democrats, they don't really bare knuckle in the primaries. I mean, the mm-hmm. Republicans, they are taking way more swings at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not suggesting the Democrats should bloody each other. But I can tell you, whoever survives the primary mm-hmm. is going to get beat up by the Republican. And whatever your chink is, because we all got a chink. We all got a bad association with the dude in college, like Dominic or whatever,
a quick temper or, you know, something you didn't talk about in your past. Sure.
But if you haven't been challenged on whatever your perceived weakness is, if you haven't honed your answer and, you know, if you're not ready to drop the mic, you could look like a deer in the headlights when someone asks you to define plagiarism.
Yes, and that is exactly. And that is just the kind of thing that, what concerns me is that you've got these, Senate candidates, and we're looking at them And what I'm saying is, okay, not just who is the strongest, who's got the best resume, but to be completely cynical about it, because I'm old and I can do that now, is which one is most likely to come out of the primary looking good and then absolutely fall on their face when Ron Johnson, not so much Ron Johnson, but the Republican, you know, consultants and the media machine, you know, start beating the crap out of them. Who's going to be able to come out swinging, and who's going to get all defensive, or, you know, who's going to get swift-boated and not really have a good response coming back? And I know that's coming at it from a negative standpoint, but I'm agreeing with you that it comes at it from a bare-knuckle standpoint. Who can take a punch?
Don't you think the Dems sometimes need to challenge the records of their opponents?
Yes.
At least if they hope to win this race.
Well, and frankly, the only one that's doing that right now is Tom Nelson. And, you know,
it helps that Tom's listening. He just gave you a background, man. I know.
But I would say this because frankly, it's cut both ways. He has said some things where I'm like, that's what a candidate should say. And he has said some things where I go, I don't know if I would have said that, you know.
Sure.
But you know, he has been in enough campaigns to know to do that. You have, you know, Mandela Barnes and now Alex Lazary. As we get closer to the primary, are they going to start kind of pulling back because they're hoping to coast? Well, then do we not get to learn how they will mix things up? And, you know, and I think a lot of people want to hear more from all of these candidates. There's going to be a couple of more forums, and frankly, there can't be enough at this point between now and then to find out who's not only looks good from a positive side, but who's going to be able to withstand Johnson's attacks.
Part of the problem from here forward is it's not just four candidates. It's 11 candidates. And when the political windows open, you can't just invite four. At least that's not the way it's supposed to work. You know, it's cumbersome. You can't adequately vet 11 candidates on a stage or in a debate format.
But if it's your stage, if it's your forum or whatever, then you set those rules that say you have to have 5,000 donors, or you have to finish, you know, higher than 5% in the polling, or raise so much money. I think you need that because as we've learned from candidates in the past, and almost learned from Tim Michaels most recently, just because somebody says they're a candidate doesn't mean they're actually a candidate. They may not qualify for the ballot, or they may be doing absolutely nothing once they get on the ballot. And in my mind, that doesn't entitle you to necessarily get up on the stage.
Oh, come on, Pat. You've seen my co-host. You know I have no standards around here.
Come on. Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Pat Kreitlow for just a couple more minutes. Pat, I want to get your take. I alluded it with Ben Wickler, Dem Party Chair here in Wisconsin. This guy, Henry Cuellar in Texas, anti-abortionist, got the support of the Democratic political party. I find that contradictory, and I don't think it helps the Democrats in the long run. But, of course, you got to be pragmatic as well. But what's your take on that? Should there be a litmus test? Can you be a Democrat, quote-unquote, and not want a woman to have their own right to choose? I think those things are antithetical.
I'll tell you what, you really get at it with the interviews I've heard you do already with the third congressional district candidates, where, you know, we all think we're, you know, important stuff in Eau Claire and La Crosse and the other big cities, but that district is rural. That district is very, you know, purple conservative. And I'm not saying that a Democrat can and should run there who's opposed, you know, to a woman's reproductive rights, but you do have to carry an entire district, and you better be able to read the district. I think Cuellar, you know, people that have gone completely anti-choice, I certainly wouldn't support them. But if that's where they're coming from, if you get them on the other, you know, 95 votes, that's a decision every voter has to make. I wouldn't make it that way.
Pat, what about the concept of the most progressive? You know, personally, I am always attracted to the Bernie-crats.
Sure.
And then we hear, oh, but, you know, if we don't just tack to the center, how are we possibly going to win the independents, the middle? What's your thought?
Look, AOC is not going to win in a rural Wisconsin district. She's going to win in an Eau Claire district. But that doesn't mean that the progressive in a rural district can't be very forceful and honest about where they're coming from. It doesn't mean they have to be far left, but they better very much believe in the convictions that they're expressing.
Pat Kreitlow, Up North News. Love it when you get the commentary. That'll be coming about 5:30. Thanks for joining me here at Buzzard Billy's. I owe you a cold beer. So we're going to have to take a break. I got to get the wait staff. We got to load up because Tom Nelson, U.S. senatorial candidate, out of Gaming County executive, he's joining us at the table next.
back rubs all around from Tom, I hear. Tom, we'll catch you on the flip side. The happier happy hour, it's next.